This evening's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. Headed, "The Shepherds and the Angels" in the NIV. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace to men, on whom his favour rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This is the word of the Lord.
We're continuing this series tonight and next week, and then into the carol service the week after, called A Christmas Carol. And we're looking at these songs in the Bible. We spoke in the first week about how many songs there are, how many poems and songs there are, and at significant points in the Bible story and in the history of God's dealing with people. People break into song. And so we've looked over the last few weeks at Zechariah's song and Mary's song. And tonight we're looking at the angel song, this song that the angels sing. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests." We've been thinking particularly about the Christmas associations of many of these songs in the scriptures. And it's only one verse. It's a really short little passage. But it reveals to us so much about the ministry of angels. I don't know if you're aware of just how popular angels are at the moment. New Age folk love angels. All sorts of different religions love angels. No doubt over the next few weeks we'll be seeing angels everywhere. But in general at the moment, there's just an interest in angels, and there have been for a few years. A few months ago, Claire was walking along Plassey Street, and I'm probably going to get the details of this story wrong, but she saw a woman ahead of her stop and pick up a feather. And she realised she was being watched, and, oh, in case it's an angel's feather, put it in her bag. Sort of there's this folk belief around the importance of angels. And they've got something right, but they're getting their sources from the wrong place. Angels are incredibly important. Over 270 mentions of them in the Bible. More in the New Testament than in the Old Testament, which is really surprising. But angels, really central to what God wants to do in the world and has done in the past, and I believe carries on doing, because God never changes. I wonder if you've ever met an angel. Or if you have met an angel, if you even knew that you met an angel. Claire's brother tells a story about how a number of years ago, Claire's brother is not a Christian. He's a bit of a hippie. He, for a number of years, would travel backwards and forwards to India, learning under a master out there to play the tabla, under a Hindu master to play the Indian drums. And what he would do is he would come home and he'd work for a few months, save up as much money as he could, and then get on a plane and head straight back out to India again. And he just loved travelling around India and studying with this master, this guru, and he just loved India. But one day he was on a journey, he was travelling through India, when he was attacked and mugged and left in the roadside. And he was in a terrible condition. He was without any help, he was without any resources, he was in a foreign land, he didn't know quite what he was going to do. And if I remember the story right, just suddenly next to him, a guy appeared, pulled up on a moped, on a motorbike, pulled up next to him, got off, tended his wounds, looked after him, put him on the back of the bike, took him off, and took care of him until he was well again, and then disappeared. And he couldn't track this fella down. He literally just turned around and he was gone. And had said ever since, I think, there was an angel sent to minister to me. He's not a Christian. Not even really in his head from a Christian background. But he's got this idea, God sent an angel to look after me. A huge amount of interest in angels. And when I said, I wonder if you've ever met one. The scriptures tell us that sometimes, you know, we meet them and we don't even recognize it. That they're not these great winged white beasts with fiery swords, but they appear as men. And it says in Hebrews, in chapter 13, verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. For so by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. You may have met an angel, and you didn't even know it. You know, when someone asks for money in the street, I'm always a little bit cautious about just saying no, in case actually God's put them there. Because the scriptures say sometimes, you know, we minister, we entertain angels without even knowing about it. So we're going to just look tonight, just for a little while, at this ministry of angels, about their place and what they do. And it's really, we're just going to scratch the surface. But what I can tell you is that later on in the year, next year, we've got a guy coming called Dr. Jonathan Macy. He's going to come and he's going to preach at two services. He's my Uncle Phil's curate, and his PhD is in angels. That's what he's studied, that's what he's written a book on. And he's going to come and he's going to speak at both the morning and the evening service. He's going to spend the weekend here, and he's going to talk about angels. I heard him speaking a few months ago, and he was absolutely superb. Absolutely fantastic. He's a speaker that you have to put a bit of effort into listening because he has a bit of a speech impediment. And so you have to concentrate, you have to put work into the sermon. You can't just sit there and let it wash over you. You have to put some work into listening. But what he's got to say is superb. And this really is just a scratch of the surface. And my prayer is that he'll really unpack this a lot more when he comes later on in the spring, the early summer. So what do angels do? We've all got this image of angels. Maybe with wings and maybe a fiery sword. And we've got this idea of seraphim and cherubim and all these different things. But what is it that they do? Why are they around? What is their ministry? Well, actually, they tip their hand and they tell us what the first part of their ministry is in the very first few words of this song that we've had read to us tonight by Andy. Suddenly, Luke chapter 2, verse 13, suddenly a great company of angels, of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. The first thing that angels are for, the first part of their ministry, the first thing that they are for is to give glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. These are created creatures. These are created beings. And at the very core of what they're about is giving glory to God. They've got all sorts of other ministries and all sorts of other things that they do as well, but right at the center of who they are, they're to give glory to God. If an angel was a stick of Brighton rock and you broke him anywhere, it would say, glory to God in the highest. The reason we were created, the reason we are, is to give praise and worship and glory to God forevermore. Now, there's a number of places in scriptures where people have had insights into heaven, have had that veil between the earthly realm and the spiritual realm so thin that they can see through it. And they've seen angelic beings. Isaiah, or in John in Revelation, where they can see into the heavenly realm and they see the angelic host. And what are they doing? They're praising God. They're telling him how worthy he is. They're giving him worship and glory and honor. Angels, first and foremost, they want to give glory to God. I spoke to somebody a few years ago, and I know from having read a little bit, it's a concern for a number of folk of, well, if I was to meet a heavenly being, how would I know that it's an angel and not there to deceive me? Is it glorifying God? Is it giving glory to Jesus? Is it lifting up the name of Jehovah? An angel will do that. That's what an angel does right to his very core. He's there to give glory and praise to God. But if we were to look at Psalm 103, and I think it's going to come up on the screen, actually there's a fivefold ministry of angels that we read about there in the Psalms. Praise the Lord, you his angels. First thing they do is they praise the Lord, they give glory to God, they worship him, and when they've finished doing that, they praise him a bit more. Praise the Lord, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, you heavenly hosts, his servants, they serve the Lord, and they do his will. They get stuff done for God on earth. And there the psalmist has picked out this central part of what angels are about. Praising God, doing God's bidding, obeying his word, praising the Lord again, being servants of God, and making sure that God's will is done. And here, in the Christmas story, we see the angels so excited at this key point in history, this point where God has become flesh, this central part of history, the point that the story of salvation has been looking forward to, and the point that forevermore it will look back to the incarnation of God made flesh in the person of Jesus. And the angels can't contain themselves. For them, this is probably the most exciting part of history. The only part that's going to come close to this is at the consummation when the Lord comes back to take his own home. But the angels are just so filled with praise. Glory to God in the highest. I have a wonderful book by Max Lucado, which is a novel, and it's about the angelic host waiting through history. And as that point of the incarnation gets closer and closer and closer, they start crowding heaven's door, jostling and pushing and shoving, all wanting to burst out from heaven to do the thing that they were created for, to praise and worship God. Glory to God in the highest. But they've got a second ministry as well, and on earth, peace to men. They have a ministry to people as well. The word there is anthropos. People is probably a better translation than men. On earth, peace to all people, to all anthropos. That their ministry is to come and bless and minister to us. These beings created from all eternity to worship God forever and ever have got a second ministry. And it's to look after you and me. Creatures that stand in the presence of the Most High and give him praise are also assigned and tasked by God to look after you, to protect you and care for you and minister to you and to make sure that you're taken care of. Billy Graham, in his book on angels, says that he thinks that we've all got at least two angels, guardian angels, assigned to look after us. He says, a lot of people think we've got a guardian angel. He says, no, the word is plural. We've got at least two. If you are a servant of God, if you are bound for salvation, if you know Jesus, then the scriptures say that the Lord has assigned angels to look after us. Think of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and what two angels were able to do there. And yet the Lord has assigned angels to minister to us. Think of that power, that resource that's available in heaven. that God has made available through the angelic host. Whatever you're facing this week, whatever you face in the future, we're not going to face it alone, because the Lord is with us and His Spirit is with us. But the Scriptures also say that we have these angels. Angels sent to minister to us. If we look back at that, if we look back at the Scripture from Hebrews, we had a reading from Hebrews a moment ago, but Hebrews chapter 1, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Aren't angels sent, the writer of Hebrews asks? Aren't they sent by God to minister to those, to look after those, to care for those and serve those who will inherit salvation? How many people here tonight know they're going to inherit salvation? One. Okay, let me tell you the gospel. Right. You're sinners. No, how many people here know they're going to inherit salvation, that you know you're saved? A few more brave, but there's one or two maybe I need to share the gospel with afterwards. And aren't angels, the writer to Hebrews asks, ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? If you're an inheritor of salvation, if you're adopted into the family of God, if you're now an heir of salvation, then there are angels sent to minister to us, to guard to us. I was thinking and praying about this in the week as I was preparing this sermon, and thinking about that story of Claire's brother, Nick, and thinking, why did God send an angel to minister to him? And I started to get really excited and thinking, I need to go and find him and share the gospel with him, because it says, are not angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? I think God's got a plan for his life. And maybe I need to start praying for him a bit more, and we need to speaking to him, talking to him. But if you're saved, if you know Jesus already, if you're already an heir of salvation, the book of Hebrews says that God has sent ministering spirits. And they've got a number of purposes. They're there to guard us and protect us and keep us. Another scripture, this time from Psalm 91. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. When Jesus is being tempted, Satan throws this scripture at him. But when you read it in context, it's talking about God's people, that he will command angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Angels protect people. You read the story of the Exodus, Exodus 14, an angel there standing, protecting the people of Israel. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, Daniel in trouble, his life in danger, an angel sent to protect him. They meet us when we hunger, when we thirst. Genesis 21. An angel comes and provides. Mark 1:13. Jesus needing sustaining, needing ministering to, needing food and water. It's the angels that come and do it. In overcoming loneliness and dread. Probably one of the key problems with our society today, one of the key problems at the core of who we are in our culture, is loneliness. People feel alone. We've got mobile phones and we've got internet and we've got Skype and we've got Blackberries and we've got every means of communication that are available, and yet people feel alone. Many of you know I hate Facebook. One of the reasons I hate Facebook is because people go on Facebook instead of picking up a phone or walking around and talking to somebody. I think Facebook is wicked. I do, genuinely. Because of the way it's breaking down communication and people speaking to one another. A key problem in our society today is loneliness, is feeling of isolation. Luke 22, verse 43, when we're in those moments of feeling so utterly alone, as Jesus was in Gethsemane, the scriptures say he'll send his angels. Sometimes they deliver people from danger. Acts 5 and Acts 12, 5:19 and 12, verse 6 onwards. People in danger, in prison, in chains. God sends angels to look after him, after them. So angels have this ministry. First of all, to God, to give Him glory, to give Him praise, to give Him honour. But secondly then, sent by Him, to look after you. To look after you and me. And yet how many of us think about angels when we're feeling lonely or depressed or in danger or in trouble or stressed? These heavenly beings, powerful heavenly beings sent by God to minister to us. And then thirdly, their third ministry. It says the angels left them and returned to heaven. I've picked this verse out just to highlight this idea that actually these angels have this ministry of moving between the two. They minister to God and they minister to us. And then they return to heaven and they minister to God. And they have this translocational ministry, this ministry of moving backwards and forwards. Think of Jacob's ladder. You know the story of Jacob's ladder. He lays down his head and goes to sleep and he dreams of angels. And what does he see? He sees them ascending and descending in and out of heaven. That their job is to move between the two, to be messengers, to be carrying God's favour and grace and protection and good news backwards and forwards. The heavenly beings who, yes, they minister before God, but they also minister to us, and they live in neither realm. They move between the two. And there, at the key point of the story of salvation, who do we see? We see the angels, the heavenly host. First, an angel comes and brings good news. I've got good news for you. Today, in David's town, is born a child. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Saviour. And then the whole heavenly host appears here at the key point of salvation. Angels, praising God and worshipping. They love to worship. They love to particularly to worship when we get good news. Do you know the scriptures say that the moment you gave your life to Christ, the angels parted? It says in one of the parables that there's more rejoicing in heaven over a sinner saved. There was rejoicing, a party amongst the angels the moment that you gave your life to Christ the first time. They love to hear good news about what God has done for His people. It says in Job 38 that the angels rejoice at the creation of the world. And right now there are angels rejoicing over us. As we worship God, they rejoice over the fact that we know God, that we are heirs of salvation. It becomes very easy to sentimentalize the place of angels in the scriptures, to give them halos and big fluffy wings, and sort of relegate them to the tops of Christmas trees and to Christmas cards. But if we read the scriptures right, and if this word is true, then actually angels are important to what God is doing amongst us. What God wants to do amongst us. And whatever we face this week, whatever we face in this new year, whatever we face ahead, some of you are not well. Some of you have got relationship problems. Some of you, your jobs look uncertain. Some of you have got exams that you don't think you can pass. If our understanding of the angels are right, and if those words from Job and from the Psalms and from Genesis and from Exodus and from Acts are true, then you're not going to face it alone. God is with you. His Spirit is with you. And one of the ways that He comes and ministers to us is through sending angels. We need to open our eyes and just be open to the possibility that even tonight, have a look around, is there somebody you don't recognize? Even tonight, we may have an encounter arranged by God with an angel. And if that's how He wants to do His will amongst us, who are we to say He can't? But whatever we do, wherever we go, He is there with us. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this night and evermore. Amen. Let's bless one another as we finish with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.